Glad to be back to present the UBS Asset Management Monthly Macro Podcast. As you know, each month we look forward to hearing from top investment professionals from the UBS Asset Management Multi-Asset Team. Joining us for this month's episode, glad to welcome back Evan Brown. Evan is Head of Global Multi-Asset Portfolio Management for the Americas and Asia. Joining us as well, Mark Whitman, Multi-Asset Specialist from UBS Asset Management. So with that, Evan, Mark, thank you both for spending some time today with our listeners, our advisors. And with that, Mark, let me now turn it over to you to lead today's conversation with Evan.
Thanks, Dan, and glad to be part of today's topic. So today we're going to cover the latest macro and asset allocation views from Evan and team. So jumping right into the main topic on investors' minds, as we are now 5 weeks into the Iran war, Evan, what's your latest view on some of the economic impacts associated with it?
Thanks, Mark, and we should probably timestamp this. It's April 1st at 1:30, and as we all know, the news seems to flip every hour, and with that, the outlook for the economy and markets. But I think big picture, we're undergoing a supply shock. That's where inflation is going up and growth is going down, and the longer the Strait of Hormuz is essentially closed, the more painful for the global economy. It's disproportionately negative for Asia and Europe. They rely heavily on Middle East imports of oil and gas. The U.S. is relatively better off given our energy independence. But what I'd say is that the starting points matter. So the economy, global economy, was in reasonably good shape before we had this shock. So U.S. tax rebates are hitting consumers' wallets right at this time. Productivity has been improving across the Atlantic and Germany. The fiscal stimulus is starting to hit the economy, and global manufacturing was showing signs of accelerating. And so if you're going to get a shock, this was a reasonably well-positioned economy, time to get in. We think that the economy can muddle through. It obviously depends on how long the strait is all but closed, and if it's closed a few months from now, or if there's materially more damage to Gulf energy infrastructure, we'd reconsider that view. But it does look like there's some incremental movement towards diplomacy and de-escalation, and if that's the case, then a lot of the damage should be contained. It's meaningful, but still contained. So it won't be as ideal as we thought coming into the year with strong growth and expecting sharply declining inflation, but maybe we downgrade our outlook for growth to good enough and inflation elevated but gradually on its way towards easing.
Thanks, Evan. And speaking to your, and we're continuing with the Iran war and speaking to your first point about the rapidly changing expectations as a result of the war, we've also seen central bank rate cut expectations change a bit, with markets reflecting either an increased chance of no rate cuts in 2026 and some even anticipating a slight probability of a hike this year. So what is your view on how the Fed will ultimately weigh inflation versus growth implications of these higher energy prices?
Yeah, so some of the most volatile price action we've seen across assets has been in the rates market, to your point. I mean, the market was pricing multiple cuts this year by the Fed, and then at one point, essentially pricing a hike this year, and now about flat in Europe, in the UK, pricing in a few hikes. There's certainly a world where the Fed hikes this year, but we think that's pretty unlikely. I mean, when you get a supply shock like we're having right now, the Fed typically looks through it as long as inflation expectations are contained, and they are contained. And so market participants generally, the way they're pricing inflation in the market, they see this oil shock as more of a one-off and not something that's going to feed through more broadly. Overall inflation, it remains a bit stubborn, but we are seeing enough downward pressure on shelter, which makes up a big part of the inflation basket. And, still in a generally soft wage growth environment. And we think that should keep the Fed with with an easing bias rather than a tightening bias. So this is more of a postponement of rate cuts, we think, than having no rate cuts. And again, we think a hike is pretty unlikely at this stage.
And continuing with the topic of inflation, and given some of the, you know, this kind of inflationary episode, and we've seen periods of stocks and bonds sell off at the same time, where some are likening, you know, today's experience to 2022, how would you compare this shock, this inflationary shock, to the experience a few years ago?
Yeah, so the similarity relative to 2022 is you had a war-driven energy supply shock. It was Russia-Ukraine then, Iran now. But the state of the economy and policy, very different this year versus 2022. 2022, inflation pressures were much, much broader. You had, of course, a lot of fiscal stimulus, right? A lot of checks had gone out to people. And then all of a sudden, an opening up of the economy, so that money just getting unleashed on the services sector. You also had a lot of supply chain constraints as with COVID, you know, a number of plants were shut down, and people were demanding goods, stuck at home, and so within goods and then in services, it was just a much broader inflation shock. You also had very tight labor markets, which were leading to wage pressures, and inflation expectations were really starting to rise, all while rates, you know, the Fed was essentially at zero. Whereas today, you know, rates are mildly restrictive. So it was a much broader inflationary environment. The market needed to reprice rates much more dramatically. Today, rates are comfortably higher than that. The inflation shock is narrower. So we think there are a number of differences that suggest to us that even as we've had this kind of environment with bonds and stocks like selling off at the same time, that this is a much narrower version of what we saw in 2022, and hopefully much more short-lived.
Thanks, Evan. I think that's really helpful context and a little bit reassuring as well. So given that macro backdrop that we discussed, maybe from an asset class perspective, what's your current view on equities?
Yeah, we remain overweight equities. I mean, we did reduce the size of our equity overweight a few weeks ago, just because there's a, you know, wide range of outcomes regarding the war, and we were still very much in an escalation phase. Right now, it seems we're more in a de-escalation phase, even as things stay fluid. I think it's important to acknowledge that throughout this, earnings growth has been really strong, and in fact, earnings revisions have been moving higher, and so even as the market has sold off, with that earnings growth and earnings expectations remaining high, you've seen a 15% decline in valuations. You know, the 12-month forward PE is down 15%. That is a pretty big drop in valuation. So as long as you're not expecting a sharp slowdown or recession, as long as this doesn't go off the rails, then, you know, the market looks reasonably valued here.
Thanks, Evan. That's really helpful context. And thank you again for sharing your insights today.
As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG, member FINRA SIPC.